is the UR Business Network.
Welcome to the Medical Travel Show, a forum for ideas, challenges, and benefits for international wellness and medical travel. This is Elizabeth Ziyemba, and I'm here today with my co-host, Irving Stackpole.
Thank you, Elizabeth. It's great to be here. We have a terrific guest today joining us from the Philippines. Ms. Kathy Derville is pioneer in the Ms. Kathy Derville is a pioneer in the Philippine spa and wellness industry, having been involved with wellness, tourism, and human resource development for the past 33 years. She is the founder and co-owner of Nurture Wellness Village, a Department of Tourism-accredited destination spa resort located in Tagaytay City, Philippines. Ms. Derville was the founding president of the Spa Association of the Philippines and sits on the Board of Philippine Tourism Infrastructure Enterprise Zone Authority. Say that 10 times real fast. Kathy is an internationally certified worksite wellness specialist, health and wellness coach, and living foods wellness educator. She is also the author of Turn Back Time, Natural Anti-Aging Choices, and has been a speaker in various international spa and wellness conferences. Welcome to the Medical Travel Show, Kathy.
Thank you very much, Irving. Thank you very much, Elizabeth, for your invitation. It's quite an honor to speak in your show.
Well, thank you so much, Kathy, and welcome. It's a pleasure to talk with you again. For our listeners, I met Kathy while I was working on a project for the government of the Philippines and had the pleasure of meeting Kathy and visiting the Nurture Wellness Village, which is a spot that I would recommend all of you to visit. So, Kathy, let's begin. How did you first get interested in the wellness industry?
Oh, well, my background is training and organization development. And I've always been interested in helping people develop their fullest potential. And around 12 years ago, through a personal circumstance, I found myself going to the what we call summer capital, very close to Manila, and establishing a place where I could focus, where I could train, where I could center myself. And I didn't know at that time that what I was putting up was what would eventually be called a spa. So the key objective in putting up the resort was really to develop a place for myself initially. However, what happened was when the project was unfolding, people sort of gravitated towards it, and I was very lucky that media sort of discovered me, and discovered the place, and with the help of friends and with the help of media and family, we started to grow. So what actually started as a place for calm, as an oasis for calm, surrounded by nature, a place where one could get what we call touch therapy, which was actually massage, became destination, and we were just very lucky and very blessed to be able to do this. So you would say that it was like serendipity, where what I loved ended up becoming a business. So it became, we started out as a spa, a very small spa. We only had four people. And then through the years, the spa became a romantic destination because people wanted connection. So people were coming not just for a massage, but to make a connection between couples. We found ourselves soon becoming a destination, destination for couples who wanted a shared time together. And then we moved into wellness because we started working with a doctor who's a medical doctor practicing integrative medicine, and he started bringing patients to us who then we started implementing his programs, and then now we're very much into corporate wellness. So we've evolved through the years. We're on our 12th year, moving on to our 13th, and the place has seen a lot of evolution through the years.
It sounds like the growth that the Wellness Village has experienced is organic. a concept that is central to the purpose of the Wellness Village. Would you talk a little bit more about, I happen to know, having been in the organic garden, what wonderful food you grow there and how that is integrated into your programs?
Well, yeah, we're very excited because initially we were just dealing with touch therapy or massage therapy and, of course, the usual scrubs and wraps. However, in our wellness program, in our corporate wellness program, which we call the Workwell Project, we started teaching people about the various facets of wellness because I came up with this model called Choices, which I introduced in the book Natural Anti-Aging Choices. It's called anti-aging, but actually it's all about wellness choices, and that includes nutrition. So So Choices is an acronym for C stands for choose to be positive, but for stress. Healthy lifestyle. E is to embrace natural therapies. O is oxygenate through movement. I is immune boost with natural health supplements. And then S is sleep, social support. And now what happened was we started teaching people about nutrition through healthy eating, the H part, and hydration. So I started introducing healthy food to corporate clients who would come to us. And it didn't make sense for us to buy foods which we were not sure about the source. So we started growing our own. I brought in kale seeds from Atlanta because I went through a program called Living Foods where kale and wheatgrass were very, very important ingredients. So we started planting kale, and the little small garden has now become a farm, and we now specialize in kale. So we do, we do health food demonstrations using the plants we have in the farm. So it works in two ways now. What we do is we work with our chef who develops healthy food recipes from the plants, from the veggies that we grow in the farm. And it's really been good because we are sure and we can guarantee the quality of the greens that we serve. Because it doesn't make sense if you're in a wellness journey to buy veggies which are laced with pesticides. That doesn't make sense. So we follow the philosophy called locavore, which is basically serving food from within, from very close to the locality. So our carbon footprint, of course, is very, very low. So as a result, this whole organic farm, it's really an exciting direction we've taken, Elizabeth. The last time you were here, the farm has grown, and we're now supplying Manila with fresh veggies. And what's happening is we're really hoping to go to Manila, which is an hour away, and work with corporate clients and bring the veggies into the offices because they don't have much choices in terms of healthy food. So just to share, I hope you don't mind, I'm just talking away. yesterday I was just speaking with a call center owner, and he was very concerned about the health of his people. And then he asked, can you cater to us? Can you bring your food down to us? And, of course, I was really happy because that's a way of reaching the corporate market and making a difference and giving them choices in the city because so many times it's not possible to eat healthy in the city. So that's what we're
going to do. So, Kathy, this is fascinating. It sounds like your journey of personal discovery led you into a new field, and that new field turned into an organic growing field, which is in turn turning into quite a business. What suggestions do you have for others who may be about to take timid steps in the same direction you've headed?
Okay, thanks for your question. I think one has to start with interest and passion. A lot of times I came from corporate and moved into becoming an entrepreneur. And in corporate, you're in a nice, cozy box. And then when you become an entrepreneur, you go out to the wild. It's a wild, wild west out there. Mm-hmm. So in order to survive, you have to start with passion and interest. You have to, first of all, really like what you're doing, because that'll keep you going when times are tough. However, passion is not enough. You have to back it up with knowledge. So it's so important that you don't just guess your way. There are many experts out there, and you have to develop the competence. So beyond passion, you have to develop competence. So in my own journey in the spa industry, I knew I just wanted a place of peace and calm. However, to make it a business, I went through massage classes. I'm an international certified licensed therapist, although my husband complains that he never gets a massage from me. What's important is that I don't actually do massages in the spa, but I know enough to know where to ensure that our therapists are doing the right thing, and that's really important. And if push comes to shove, I can do the massage. And then when you're dealing with the client, you need to make sure that you know what they're doing. It's not the tail wagging the dog. And then, so for spa, my husband and I attended all of the conferences. We're really hungry for knowledge, traveling extensively, going abroad, Singapore, Bali, Thailand, learning, going to Europe, learning. Just like a 3-year journey. Now, from spa to wellness, again, it's a different field with a lot more responsibility, because now you're dealing with lives. So again, in the Philippines, when I Googled, there wasn't enough information. So off I went again, traveling and just taking my chances, going off to different areas and just learning, attending seminars, getting myself certified, and just reading all the books I could about that. So, and very important for entrepreneurs, it's not enough to be good the area you're interested in. You need to know your finance, being very candid. I was more into creation, more into my passion about wellness. But to make it a viable business, you got to know the nuts and bolts of your business. You have to make sure that you're profitable. As my husband always says, sure, you want to help people, but you have to have a business which is profitable in order to help people. So again, my learning after a few years was you need to know how to read financial statements. You need to know whether your business is making money or not. You need to know. You have to put in systems, you have to put in controls so that you know what's going on. And then you're able to move forward. Also very important, you get people who are good. If, again, numbers wouldn't be your cup of tea, know enough but that get a very good accountant, but know enough so you can monitor your accountant. And so there, build a team there as well. As you grow, you can't be doing everything on your own. So you build a team. I have a really good, now I have what to call an ex-com. So I work with them. So both for nurture the resort and now for the farm. So there, those are some tips, I think, which I hope would help.
Those are terrific words of wisdom that you're sharing with us, Kathy, and certainly represents roads to success for entrepreneurs who love what they're doing, feel passionate about it, and are lifetime learners. Just to switch gears just a little bit, certainly in the U.S. and in other places, there have been entrepreneurs such as yourself who are interested in offering corporate wellness programs, but we found it difficult to find employers who are caring enough about their employees to invest in what they see as simply an expense without any return on investment. So what is it that you find with employers in the Philippines that you work with that makes them want to invest in their employees? How do you convince them that corporate wellness programs really have a substantial return on investment?
I think it's so important to speak their language. So a lot of times what they want to would be to listen. We need to use the words of finance. We need to use language of the CEOs. So when it comes to corporate wellness, we need to talk about data and be very data-driven. And there's so much information out there. when I attended this course at the National Wellness Institute for Worksite Specialists, there's so much data out there that one can use. So when dealing with clients, I come in with data. I don't come in as a passionate advocate. I come in with, okay, guys, you want to be profitable, but the first question is, okay, why don't we take a look at your healthcare costs right now? Let's take a look at your absenteeism costs. Let's take a look at your presenteeism costs. And more often than not, they sort of say, yeah, you are absolutely right. It's something that they don't want to look at, but it's something that they have to look at. It's something that they know at the back of their mind is so true. But, you know, when you bring it up front and center to them, they sort of listen to that. That's number one. You know, use corporate speak so that they listen. And another thing I've also found is make it simple. A lot of times, big companies will want to invest in such a huge organizational change towards health. For them, it's like, that's such a huge investment. So what we do to make it easy and fun, so give them a taster first through the WorkWell project, bring them here, and then make it easy on the pocket, make it, because they're still getting to know this almost weird world of wellness in the workplace. So we make it easy, and then they realize it's actually true. What we're saying is actually true. So what we've done really is, and another thing is, a lot of times you'll ask, and we've had this, okay, why don't you look at our data and what would you recommend? So what we do is we can look very quickly, look at the data. The nice thing about us, Elizabeth, is because we have the facilities as well. We start out with what we call the digital meridian scan, which is a computerized health scan, which employees have. When we show it to the boss, they're like astounded. They get scared. They say, oh my God, half of my staff are about to have heart attacks. It's going to be very expensive. Then they start to listen. So starting with data is really, really very powerful. And that's what we've used so far. But very important, if I may add, though, is making it a holistic approach. You can't just come in and come out. We have to plan for sustainability, that they can do it on their own. So it is not like consultancy. What we don't want to do is to create dependency. So it's all about transferring knowledge to individuals so they can do it on their own. They become healthier, the company becomes happier because they're more profitable. So that's the approach we would use.
Excellent. Notice, Kathy, that acceptance among corporate executives differs based on their age? Are younger executives more receptive than older executives, or are female executives more receptive than male executives? Do you notice any differences?
I noticed, though, very interesting, is in the Philippines anyway, I think older executives are a bit more, maybe more reluctant because it's something new. They're, it's like they prefer the old motivate employees to produce sort of mindset. Now, when you talk about health, when you relate it to them, using the results of the scan, the digital meridian scan, a lot of them are actually sick. So they say, okay. And then they become more open because they themselves are the market. However, I was just talking to a young corporate executive yesterday, and he owns a company, and you could see he's very, very fit. So he's like the one saying, come on, Kathy, come down to Manila. Let's get this started. Because he's young and fit, and he runs. I noticed that resistance comes from older people who are, sorry to say, not exactly fit. They're resistant to the idea of wellness because it implies they themselves have to change, because it really starts with leadership. So sometimes they resist it because they will have to lead the pack.
Right.
So when I say, you know what I mean? It's like, I've heard this from top executives saying, oh, come on, Kathy, I enjoy my food too much. Don't let me change my lifestyle. It's like, okay, but what that means is, okay, like, I'll just say, okay, Greg, but when we work with your guys, it will have to come from the top. He says, okay, maybe work with my HR because she's fit and then she can lead this. All right, so what I'm saying is it's not a gender thing. It's not an age thing. It's a leadership thing to the extent of the person wanting to do the change so that he can lead his his company to change. So I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. It makes terrific sense, and you've made the point
very
well. Mm-hmm. I think the question, of course, one of the questions, because our audience is indeed international, is how can this model be planted, and can it be nurtured and grown in other markets, do you think, outside of the Philippines? And do you see that these projects, these small organic development focused on well-being in corporate settings, do you see these projects growing?
Well, absolutely. It's very interesting because in our journey, we came from spa, and then we went into the resort business. We're now accredited as a resort. And then we moved into gardening, and we did, and now that we're in farming, we formed a new company called Nurture Pharmacy, F-A-R-M-A-C-Y. And we were, I can hardly believe it, but I spoke in a conference last week on farm tourism, and I'm like saying, huh, why am I speaking about farm tourism? But again, seriously, I was like, what am I doing here? But when I listened to other speakers, I could see what it's all about. We're now trying to merge farming and tourism, and I was there as a wellness person merging both. And frankly, that's a really fantastic way for other countries, other nations, other companies to go. Because wellness cannot be dissociated from food. It cannot be dissociated from farming. It cannot be dissociated from agriculture. So what happens is you're part of a larger movement now, and it's fun. It's so exciting. So the important thing is wellness, I believe, should not be at in isolation. It's really part, we all know that. It's all part of a larger movement. And the more people we have in the movement, like agriculture, farming, urban farming, the stronger the message is. Because if wellness works in isolation, only like just in isolation, in a silo, the impact is very much less. However, when we join other industries, the impact is so much less. So the audience last week were farmers, of owners of farms, owners of resorts, owners of agritourism establishments, and they were very interested. So they said, "Okay, so it's all about wellness." And when you think about it, it's all about changing the world. It's an advocacy, and certainly other companies can do this as well. I think what's important is to anchor wellness into a very, very strong foundation, which other industries can latch on: tourism, agriculture, medical, wellness, and all of these things. So then it becomes a much stronger movement, a much stronger advocacy, with a stronger and bigger communication message.
Thank you, Kathy Turville, for truly an inspirational conversation. Please tell our audience how they can reach you.
All right. Please visit our website, www.nurturewellnessvillage.com. So let me repeat that, www.nurturewellnessvillage.com. So, or else they can email me at Kathy, C-A-T-H-Y, at nurture.com.ph. So let me repeat that. C-A-T-H-Y at nurture.com.ph. So there.
Excellent. I certainly hope that a lot of our listeners will be in touch with you to find out where you are going to be leading the wellness sector, certainly in the Philippines and beyond. So thank you very much, Kathy, for joining us today. And for our audience, do you have any comments or questions about what we've discussed today? Please write your comments on our Facebook page for The Medical Travel Show.
And this is Irving Stackpole. You have been listening to The Medical Travel Show, a forum for ideas, challenges, and benefits for global healthcare services. Remember to like us on Facebook, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the UR Business Network. Broadcasting from Woburn, Mass.